Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with the Rock Paper Podcast. I want to talk about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them at the .Zec building in Grand Center in St. Louis, Missouri. Or shop online 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com. Come on by anytime during the week, but every Friday they'll have new records in store. They'll have live record spinning, and they'll have some free beer from Urban Chestnut. So check it all out. Full listing of details at musicrecordshop.com. Follow along on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for all kinds of exclusive opportunities to win some tickets and some records and all kinds of fun things. Pays to support people. Support local. There's a lot of really cool things going on over there. And, yeah, check it all out. Musicrecordshop.com.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Welcome to Rock Paper Podcast with Shane Presley and I'm Zach Squatch.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging outside at the Boat Bar at the beautiful Venice Cafe with Zach Sloan.
That's it. That's the name. Or Zach Squatch.
A.K.A. Zach Squatch. Yeah,
or,
man.
Or Mr. Hands, as I've been known before.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with the Mr. Hands who got penetrated by a horse to death. This is just going to make sure we start this podcast right off talking about anal penetration from a horse. That way everybody knows that you're talking to me.
Right.
Right. No one else.
Yeah, just...
I'm going to make you earn that explicit title on your...
Yeah, man. This is great, man. I love Venice. It's a beautiful spot over here and a living, breathing piece of artwork. So I'm glad we're able to hang out here today and record this. So if you hear any sounds of the city, we are recording live on the patio. So, but beautiful day, and I'm glad you're hanging out here today, man. So
I like that the birds left as soon as we started talking.
Yeah, right.
They just like flew away.
We're getting the hell out of here.
We don't want to be on this podcast.
Yeah, we don't want nothing to do with this guy. but this is like the big return, man. You kind of dropped in on the Old Souls episode with Drew and Neil. And
to be clear, Neil tricked me into that. I don't know if we discussed it on that one or not,
right.
But I was like, hey, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm hanging out up at Foam, come on up. And then when I got there, it was like, oh yeah, we're recording a podcast, come on back here, let's do this. And I was like, oh, well, I'll just sit in the corner.
But I'm so glad he did, because that was like the first time we met.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, since then we've become buddies and stuff. I've seen you around town a lot more now and stuff, and it's just been, I'm glad that it worked out that way.
You go to like a million, how many shows do you think you go to a week? On average.
I mean, some weeks are better than others, but yeah. There's, I don't know. I try to go out quite a bit. But like on a Friday or something or whatever, I'll hit a couple different shows.
I wish I did that. Yeah. I'm not good about leaving the house.
I'll hit an early show and then like I'll wind up on Broadway or something like that for a late show and things like that. So.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I love it, man. Music's my life. It's a whole lot of fun.
Truck, not a motorcycle. Right. I need a motorcycle to drive by.
We're rooting for a motorcycle to drive by through this episode. So
hopefully, right in the middle of my song about suicide.
Like I said, that was like the first time we really met. We didn't really. Get too deep into a lot of your stuff, but I wanted to kind of get to know a little more about you and Zach Squatch and how this all came to be and stuff. So
I want to figure that out too.
Yeah, right. I need the origin story.
Well, 1989, my mom and dad were fucking. Dad didn't pull out, and it knocked up my mom. Now and then I was born 9 months later, 10 pounds 22 inches. It's a big baby. So I was Zach Squatch right off the bat.
Right.
And then that's it. That's all that happened. And then life. And then everything else is just the minutia of life.
Right. Came out with that beard and
and this denim vest. Yeah. My first denim vest, I came out of my mom's vagina and I just pulled all her pubic hair off and I put it over my shoulders, and that was my first, I guess it wasn't denim, but it was a vest.
Yeah.
That's gross. I wish I didn't say that. I don't know why I ever started doing music. I wanted to do like poetry. I was always a big fan of like literature and poetry, but you know, when you read poems to people, everyone just kind of rolls their eyes and goes, ugh. So it was like, if I learn three chords, which is kind of all I did, this is C, F, and G as my favorites, you could put all your poems to chords and then it's a song.
Right.
And people pay way more attention. As a matter of fact, people will buy it. People will buy your poems if you put them to a tune.
Yeah.
With a little bit of melody. You don't even have to be able to sing. You just have to have a little bit of melody in there. So it's fun. I like it. But that's definitely, I'm not a musician. I'm a singer-songwriter.
Right.
Damn it. Don't fuck it up.
When did you write the first song, do you think? Or your first poem you turned into a song?
Shit. I feel like I was like, when I was really little, like, or no, when I was like in like middle school, I was listening to Linkin Park. So I feel like my first song was like, I just changed all the words to a Linkin Park song and made it like about whatever was going on in my life, which was just like, I'm in middle school struggling with depression. I don't understand how these emotions work.
All right.
My balls are dropping and I'm sad. So that was probably my first, but like my first song that I, oh man, I couldn't play it for you, but I think it was called One Eyed Rest, and it was just it was about anxiety, and I was like, I was probably in like freshman year of high school, I think, and I had been playing guitar for like not even like a year, and it was like a finger plucky little ditty, so, but it was cool. It's catharsis. That's probably going to be my word of the day. Everything is fucking catharsis.
Yeah.
So whatever makes you feel something, I guess.
Sure. That story reminded me of a time, I don't know, middle school something, maybe eighth grade or whatever it was. We went to a party, and my buddy had a guitar in his room or something. I grabbed his acoustic guitar, and I just started walking around the party just strumming. I have no idea what I'm doing playing guitar. I don't know if it was even in tune or anything. I have no idea, but I just started strumming around and like singing songs about like what was going on at the party, like just like you know, just whatever, just free flowing thoughts, like and trying to rhyme it and stuff, and
stream
like,
of consciousness, yeah, baby,
right? And it was a whole lot of fun though. I don't know.
Do you remember any of the songs?
No,
you don't want to play them now.
No, yeah, but it was just, I mean, like. I've never considered anything of being I enjoy writing. I wrote for like school newspaper and stuff, and I did that for a little while, and like my senior year and things, and I did write a little bit of poetry and stuff, but I never really considered anything about like becoming a singer songwriter or whatever. But I do, like, it is one of my like biggest like bucket list things, like I love singer songwriters. I love the stories behind these songs and like and all that, and I would just, for me, like, that would be the top thing if I could write and record a song and get somebody recorded or whatever, and
yeah,
so that would be pretty sweet.
Well, I feel like you could record it. I'm looking right at this fancy little microphone you got right here in the middle.
Yeah, but I don't have like the talent. So,
oh
yeah.
Well, so that comes.
Yeah, if I get that stuff, maybe then I'll be all right.
But, have you done one of these with Fred Friction?
No, I just. You know,
he doesn't have the talent either, is what I'm saying, and I've never stopped him. He's probably my favorite songwriter in this city for sure.
Well, he's definitely one of those guys that I've been hearing more about. Like, you know, I don't know. Like, I just I'm still new to a lot of this St. Louis music. Even like, you know, I had a fair idea like what St.
Louis
music
was. 500 episodes?
Yeah, something like that.
And you're still new? I don't think you can claim new anymore.
I mean, like, there's still, like, a lot I don't know. Like, especially, like, I would say, like, this kind of this Cherokee scene and stuff, like, where,
South St. Louis and stuff. There's a lot going on that I still haven't, I'm still fairly new to, you know.
Definitely a lot going on.
Right.
Overwhelming at times, yeah. I feel like.
But Fred's one of those guys, I mean, I've definitely heard the name a bunch, and I haven't met him yet. I think we're Facebook friends now.
There you go.
But
step in the right direction.
Yeah, so I need to make it out and introduce myself sometime and get to know him.
Yeah, he does, I think he does the open mic on Thursdays at Livery Company. Mm-hmm. Chippewa Chapel. He's also there for happy hours and stuff. I don't know why I'm pimping Fred.
Yeah.
I'm going to plug little Fred Friction plugs here.
Right.
No, he's definitely one of the first like singer-songwriter guys I met when I started playing. I think he opened up a show at Lemons back when that place was open and doing music. I was in a band called Whiskey War Mountain Rebellion. With the Manus brothers,
yeah.
and my buddy Nick and my buddy Adam or Andy, and that's how good of friends we are. I don't know his name. No, I know his name. but yeah, he opened up the show, and I was like, "Oh my god, I'm fucking in love with this guy. This is my dad. I mean, I have a dad. I have a great dad. He's a nice dad, but he definitely doesn't write songs as good as Fred Friction. So, yeah, it was definitely. Fred's definitely an enjoyable guy. I think if you had him on here, it'd be a lot better than me. I'm wasting your time. I'm gonna go pick up Fred. I'm gonna bring him.
All right.
And just this podcast started with me, but then it's gonna end with Fred.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, hop on his motorcycle and ride out of here.
That was a real motorcycle. That wasn't my mouth doing that.
Well, you said you mentioned Fred's up in Mike, but you also. Appear every Monday night at Venice for an open mic, so people can come out and hang out, play songs, and hear some of your songs. And
starts at 9 p.m. Neil C. Luke and I host it. We usually start with a couple songs, put your name on the list, do your three songs. In 15 minutes, it's all formats. You don't have to be a musician. We got comedians. Andrew Frank was in town last night and stopped by. I don't know if you've met him, but he's very... very funny comic.
Sure. Yeah, Andrew's one of my favorites for sure, and I tell a story about him a lot, like, as I'm doing this show, because it makes me laugh really hard, and it's just a great example of the internet at its finest. But I always have people, like, cut these little intros for the show, and Andrew did his, and he was like, hey, this is Andrew Frank, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast. Enjoy, motherfuckers. And, you know, and I
that seems out of character for him, too, right, which is why it's funny.
Yeah. And he, well, we didn't think anything of it. I put it out there. I'm like, I don't care. It's funny to me. And, if you don't know, Andrew's father's involved in the church.
Yeah.
And Andrew's not. And, but the church asked his dad about, hey, what's Andrew up to? And well, Andrew just did this podcast. And, so they went and they found it. I get, you know, Google searched his name or whatever and popped up and they listened. And of course the first thing they hear is motherfuckers, and they weren't too happy about it or something like that. And like, so,
wow, it's so easy to instigate drama in a church. I feel like
it just made me crack up though. I'm like, you know, when he said that, like, I'm sure he didn't count on the church listening to the podcast, but
right.
It's just funny, like, how you put it out there on the internet and anybody can hear it. So,
wait, anyone can hear this?
Wait, what?
Oh shit!
Everybody's gonna know about your mom's. Pubic hair.
pubic hair vest. I really hope my parents don't listen to this. No, I don't care. It's their fault. They raised me, so whatever comes out of my mouth is it's their words, essentially. They should have raised me better if they didn't want me to talk like this. So,
yeah.
Blame it on them.
I was telling you before we got rolling that you have a song that I particularly found fond of. Called Conspiracy Minded, and I shared it today with some friends that do the Anything But Credible podcast that just had me out on their show, and we would talk conspiracy theories and stuff, and I sent them a link to it, and I said, hey, you guys should consider this as your new theme song, so hopefully that'll work out, and you'll get some royalties checks start rolling.
Oh, yeah, the royalties checks.
Yeah.
That's all songwriters, you know, are really want.
Yeah.
I don't even care if I play it. I'll let someone else can play my songs. Right. Just give me a little bit of that money. Just not even a lot. I just want to, you know, eat and be able to buy lotions and soup. Lotions and soup. That's all. That's on my shopping list.
Yeah.
Every time. But yeah, it's. Should I play that song? Should I play it right now?
Yeah.
Right? Let's just jump into music, right?
That sounds great.
I was listening to Drew Schaefer's podcast. He was talking about changing his strings and how good that feels. So I changed my strings today. So hopefully this is all in tune. And if it's not, you can blame Drew Schaefer for telling me to change the strings. Well, I'm heading to the eastern border to take out the New World Order. And I got a lot of names to cross off this list. Like half the goddamn senators and every moneylender and probably whoever's president. Now you might call me crazy, and I suppose that maybe you might be making some kind of sense. But to me that doesn't matter now, 'cause all that matters is how I get these fucking voices out of my head. Well, I'm conspiracy minded. What you might call a crazy, well, I would call a Latin conspiracy minded. Well, you see, the Illuminati tried to take control of me by way of the moon, which is actually an alien base. And it's a mind control satellite powered by the sunlight. And if you think that I'm wrong, well, then I rest my case. If you ask me how I know this, I'll tell you it's complicated, and the conspiracy goes so much deeper than this. You see, some of the dinosaurs lived down by the Earth's core, and they've evolved into reptilian humanoid hybrids, conspiracy minded. What you might call a crazy, I would call a lie to conspiracy minded. Well, you might call me crazy, and maybe I'm a little bit crazy. Okay, I'm fucking crazy, 'cause I'm conspiracy minded. Thank you, thank you. Thank
That's beautiful.
I feel like those people that walk by only caught the second verse, so they definitely think I'm crazy. But that's it's satire.
Yeah. Yeah, man, great song.
Thanks.
You mentioned before we got Baja, somebody else doing your song and royalty checks, and I thought of a story too of there's this guy Will Hoag. I'm a huge fan of singer.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen him at Off Broadway before.
He's one of my favorites for sure. And he did a song called Even If It Breaks Your Heart that was like, you know, he did pretty well with it. And then Eli Young Band made it a number one hit on country radio.
There you go.
And everybody was like writing in on Facebook and Twitter or whatever, you know, like, hey, we love your version so much more. And he's like, yeah, but them doing my song put my kids through college. So,
right.
Fucking
paid it.
Right. So it worked out all right for everybody. But yeah, that's where it's at. Like, you know, a lot of these guys in, you know, whatever, Nashville and stuff, they just they sell these songs and let Blake Shelton or whatever sing them, and they make
more power to them,
make money. Yeah.
Some people call it selling out. I call it fucking selling something.
Yeah, eating.
Yeah, I gotta make. Everybody's gotta make some money, damn.
Right.
I've never sold any music or anything like that, but my buddy, I was in a band with Adam Donald. I don't know if you know him. He plays in Cara Louise Band.
Yeah.
We used to be in a band together too, but he once sold a song to a buddy of ours named Steve Lickenbrock for a shot of whiskey. And a beer, maybe. But if he got the beer out of it, then he oversold it. That's too much. No, that's a good song.
Yeah.
I think it was called Snake in the Grass or My Little Snake in the Grass. My Little Snake in the Grass. It's from the makers of My Little Pony. My Little Snake in the Grass.
That sounds like
this is a good tune, though. It's a good tune.
It's a nice little children's toy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To teach you about the woes of life.
Right.
My Little Snake in the Grass.
Yeah.
It'll get you every time.
Yeah. So where's Conspiracy Minded come from? Where you?
I listened to, we were talking about this too, I listened to Last Podcast on the Left a lot, and I like Conspiracy, Coast to Coast. Is fun. George Norrie, listen to that guy.
Yeah.
That guy's got such a soothing, stupid voice that it's fun to listen to. So I don't put a lot of stock in conspiracy theories or anything. I definitely think that anyone with power is up, like the government's always up to something. But we don't know, and we're never going to know. But I like conspiracy theories. I like the idea of them just challenging the status quo in general is nice. The problem with a lot of these conspiracy theories is if you dig deep in them, you end up finding like a lot of racist, shitty people. So
right.
The conspiracy crowd is not one that I would care to gravitate towards, generally speaking. But there's some cool stuff. Their Last Podcast on the Left is not to pimp other podcasts on your the second best podcast, Rock Paper Podcast, then Last Podcast on the Left. Are the
that.
Top two podcasts with podcasts in the title,
right?
That I listen to personally. So, but no, it's they're fun. They're open minded people. They know it's funny. They do bits. My buddy, who actually Daniel Krause or Dancing Dan. I don't know if you ever met him.
Yeah.
I'm meeting up with him after this. But he got me into that podcast. I actually told him that I tried to get him to join me here.
Oh, yeah?
I was like, come on, Dan, come down and make fun. Just make fun of me the whole time. It'll be great. Because he's always good for making fun of me.
Right.
How's it going, Sears?
Hi, guys. We're not open as a bar. We're just doing a podcast.
Oh, you are?
this is a shame. Oh, cool. Sorry, guys. No, you're good. You're in it now. You're on it.
Awesome.
Bye. See ya. We should have just opened up the bar. You could have been serving drinks while you're interviewing me.
Yeah, man. It'd
be very fun.
But now we're talking. That's the next business plan.
You got to double down. Make some money while you're doing this.
Yeah, man.
Do you get sponsors yet? You got it?
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah, a little bit.
That's good.
Not really making money, but covering some of my fees and things. And
you probably spent a lot on gas.
Yeah, a lot of gas money.
Yeah.
But it's fun. I enjoy it. Like, I mean, like this, you know. There's a lot of this where part of the fun of the show for me is just getting out and seeing the different parts of the city and stuff. And, like, and getting somewhere where, you know, people are more comfortable at their own surroundings or whatever it is, you know, whether it's band practice or Venice or even Taco Bell's or whatever. So,
yeah. I really wanted to go to Benton Park and just do this in the middle of a park. I had a big old sun hat I was going to wear, like a lady hat that Red, one of the bartenders here, gave me. And, you know, a blanket we could have laid out and we could have had a picnic. But you had to fucking plug in. Would have been so romantic,
right.
Shane. You really fucked us with
this. Sorry, man.
With this whole electricity thing.
We could have brought like a generator or something.
like a giant,
right.
Yeah, generator. Not like some small convenient one. Like,
right.
One that I have to put on like a trailer and then like back into the park and plug in and crank it to start it.
Just obnoxious.
Yeah. And it would be louder than... and everything here, that's all you'd hear on
right.
the recording.
Well, it's been great, Zach.
Yeah.
Screaming over the whole time.
Yeah.
Have plans to record and put out a record with any of these songs? Or
Shane,
what?
I'm glad you asked me that.
Yeah.
I don't. Yeah. I don't know. Jake Manis is my agent. So he does all that end, which is nothing so far. No, the Gaslight dudes, JB's a good guy. He offered to record some of the stuff, and it's just, you know, I'm like not very good at following up on things. I'm not good at getting out of bed, putting pants on.
All right.
I got like a bathroom. I live in a. I have a room with a bathroom attached to it. And, you know, that's like, I don't need anything else. So I never really leave unless I have to go to work or something, or to eat, or to do podcasts. So eventually one day the idea is to put out, my dream is to put out one album that's just like 50 songs long, and it's every song I've ever written. And it's just me on acoustic guitar. And obviously some of the songs need more than just that, but, I don't give a shit. So I just put all those out, and then that's the end of it. And if anybody wants any of those songs, I'll sell them to them for ramen noodles.
Right.
And a new microwave. Because my Waco made Boken. So that's...
Yeah.
I'm going to start a GoFundMe for a new microwave.
Yeah, for the... fund the complete collection of Zach Squad.
Be called Singing with Zach Squatch.
Yeah.
Instead of messing with Sasquatch, the Jack's Beef Links jerky guys.
Those are great commercials, though.
Yeah, I like them. Yeah. You know, I kind of fall on the Bill Hicks side of advertising with the, you know, like his whole bit about, like, if you're in advertising, fucking kill yourself. You think I'm joking? You're waiting for a punchline. No, I'm serious. Fucking kill yourself. But there's some good. There's some good stuff out there in the commercial world. How do we get to talking about commercials?
Jack's
Beef Link Jerkies.
Yeah, man. They'll get you every time.
They're disgusting too. They're not even good.
Right.
They're fucking like dog treats. They taste like fucking dog treats. I know. I've eaten dog treats, and they are the exact same consistency and flavor as a fucking dog treat.
Pepperoni, man.
Yeah, I'm fucking taking... I'm trying to take down Jack's Links.
Yeah. You heard it here first, folks. We're taking them down.
No more... No... Stop buying Jack's Beef Link Jerkies. That's whatever it's called. I'm drunk now.
You want to do another one on here?
Yeah, let's do another one. I saw my buddy Mark Brainerd.
Yeah.
Told you to ask me what it's like to be a Father John Misty ripoff,
right.
Which I don't agree with. I don't really listen to a lot of Father John Misty, but I did write a song called Hey Father John Misty, you want to buy this song?
Yeah.
And it's this song that I'm going to play for you right now. It's not as funny, though, so sorry in advance. And I got to remember it. Oh, sorry. I remember empathy, albeit not so passionately, and I miss kissing on somebody who looked like me. Was it all a dream? Was it reality? Or just some ethereal phrase? Is this a song, or am I just really high? Do I make any sense, or do I sound like that Father John Misty guy? Is it okay? Should I try to rhyme when I talk of some lost love of mine? Well, how much can I get for my halo on the open market? Versus how much can I get for my halo on the black market? Versus how much is my halo worth to me? Or should I go on? Or should I shut the hell up? Are we having fun? Or is all of this just completely fucked? I do not wish to sew my mouth shut, but I can't give a reason to not. What's the point of this song? Well, I'm not really sure, but you can just sing along and make up all of your own words. If you have better metaphors, well, you can send them my way. Everybody's got something to say. How much can I get for my halo on the open market versus how much can I get for my halo on the black market versus how much my halo worth to me? Who needs angel wings once you've sold your halo? I'll just drink toxic waste and see if I can make my body glow. Was it worth it all? Trading gold for gold like a boxer going blow for or blow. Well, how much can I get for my halo on the open market versus how much can I get for my halo on the black market versus how much is my halo worth? Yeah, how much is my halo worth to me? Thank you. Yeah, I forgot that motorcycle in the background distracted me from. There's half a verse in there that I left out, but it's okay.
Whoops.
I got nervous. I got excited. I was like, oh yes, a motorcycle. It finally came.
Right.
But yeah, so that's called Father John Misty. Would you like to buy this song?
I think that's a pretty genius idea, though, too, is putting his name in the song, so when anybody Googles Father John Misty, it pops up.
Yeah, this song will pop up for them.
Yeah.
And hopefully he'll Google himself, because he seems like a big enough narcissist.
Right.
Not that I wouldn't Google myself if I was famous, so that's an unnecessary knock on my part. Sorry, Father John, my bad. I'm holding you to a standard that I wouldn't even hold myself to. But then he'll see the song, and then he will go, you know what? Fuck it, I will buy that joke. I'm in on it. I mean that song, that joke. That song's a joke. Life's a joke. Everything we do is a fucking joke. Now I'm depressed. Thanks, Shane. Yeah. This is great. I'm so happy to be sad. I wrote a song about suicide. You want to hear that one?
Sure, man.
Oh. I'm sure everyone else around here does, too. This one's called Suicide Is On Your Side. Will I wear my blood like war? Wear my cum as if love were made, but I think I'm done with any more pain, and I'll give myself to the exit that I must make.
We'll have no time for metaphors or turns of phrase. You bloodthirsty carnivores get to see how death is made. Just make sure my body is more than maimed, and you can do whatever you want with my remains. Because suicide is on my side. No one wants to hear a grown man whine. So with suicide on my side, well, I'll take my leave and then I'll take my life. Well, I'm killing myself just to get a headstone, and what it says, I don't care to know. Just let my final bed be empty and cold, 'cause in the end we all die alone. I guess suicide is on my side. No one wants to see a bearded man cry. So with suicide on my side, well, I'll finally get my rest in peace of the pie. Make me sick. I can't tie noose, and my blood's too damn thick. So when I try to split open my wrist, well, my blood just clots and I'm left cleaning up the shit. I guess suicide ain't on my side. Well, it's too damn hard to kill yourself when you truly wanna die. I guess suicide ain't on my side. Well, I'm doomed to be a sad old man who gets drunk every night. Well, all right. Thanks. Yeah. See, I turned it around at the
right,
end. So it's like, oh,
ending.
Don't kill yourself. Or, well, I don't know about happy, but it's like, I can't do it. I just imagine the if there's ever a music video, I'm just holding a gun to my head the whole time, and then I just put it down. Because I can't do it.
Right.
How do you feel about depression, Shane? How does that rub you?
Yeah, I mean, it's bad stuff, man.
To say the least.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. You get in trouble. People get in trouble sometimes for saying things well, that other people don't necessarily want to hear. And I guess you can't be mad at someone for getting mad at you. But at the same time, it's like, again, catharsis, word of the day. If I'm getting, like... So I think about suicide a lot. And I don't think I'll ever do it. I hope I never do it. I don't want to do it. For real, I think. Or at least I tell myself I don't want to. But there's like a part in me that's also like, it's just there. It's always a lingering thought. So I make a lot of jokes about it to get through it. And I write songs about it. Catharsis. Trying to get through the shit. And sometimes people get really offended because they think I'm making light of it. And I'm like... Yeah, I have to. It's like looking your demons in the face and then laughing at them is what I have to do to get through it personally. So when people like to get mad at me for doing stuff like that, it's like, well, that's kind of like you yelling at me for going to therapy, in my mind at least, because this is what I have to do to be a fucking quasi-functional member of society. So
yeah.
On a serious note. Anyway.
Yeah.
So don't send angry letters to anyone because you heard a song about suicide that seemed to be making fun of it.
Yep. Yeah, man. It's
heavy topics. No one likes the heavy topics.
Yeah. This I haven't had to deal with suicide much, but I do depression's been a running thing through my family for a long time. We got a lot of issues with it. So it's
prevalent, man. I would venture to guess that there's, you know,
whatever, I don't know what percentage they have out there that, you know, of the population has depression, but I'd venture to guess it's even higher because, I mean, we're getting better at it, but it's still, like, mental illness is still, like, a fucking,
yeah.
It's considered, you know, to be taboo. Like, you're not supposed to talk about it, you're not supposed to have it. If you do have it, fucking bear that shit down, pull yourself up by the bootstraps, boy. Well, if I pulled myself up by my bootstraps, Dad, I would hang myself with them. And then my dad would say, oh, don't do that, son. I love you. Because my dad's actually a really great guy.
Yeah? You, yeah, man. I don't know. It's tough stuff, though. I don't know where we go from there.
Where do you go from suicide?
Yeah.
Well, let's see. We can do some rape jokes. we could do some dead baby jokes.
Well,
we
can do, no. What was, what's the name of the one? About the business end of a meat cleaver and stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's, I could do that one. I think I remember song? It. That, the title of that song's changed so many times. I think it's just Corpse Bride.
Yeah.
Parenthetical, not the movie. Because Tim Burton has a movie called
right.
Corpse Bride.
Well, I saw it as, Corpse Bride on, you have, there's a video of you, performing it for STL.
Yeah, that's the song I recorded for that one.
Yeah. Which is a great project. You
yeah,
should
yeah,
check
totally.
Out. And, but yeah, I don't know. You want to do that one?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you know the full title of it? Was there a full title on the.
It was something like that. Like,
well,
I don't know.
I also wanted to do. Well, we'll do this one first. I don't know if I remember it, so let's just see. I'll pry. I'm drunk enough to make it up. She had a sad grin on her long face and a short temper with heartache. So if you fucked her and leaved her, you get the business end. Her meat cleaver. She was raised the butcher's daughter, but he was a drunk who didn't know how to be a father. Just a man who didn't understand how to keep his hands off of her. So she ran away at 7. She got dirty, she got clean. When she was drunk, she got mean. But that's the only time she loved me. I met her in the back of an old dive bar, smoking on another man's cigar. She said she'd leave if I had a car, so I asked her how far. She just pointed up and said, take me to that star. So I built her a little rocket ship, and she told me it looked like shit. So I grabbed a rag, I polished it, and she told me it looked like polished shit. Cause she's the kind of girl that you can't please. No matter how long you stay on your knees. So when I asked her to marry me, well, I stayed on my knees for 52 weeks. She finally said yes. Well, I bought her an off-white dress. She took my hand and she pressed it just below her chest. She drew a deep breath as she said, we'd have been forever unhappily wed. Then
and she closed her eyes and slumped her head as she lay there dead. And for one last cold night, I slept with her in our bed.
Thank you. Yeah, I think I remember the full title is Corpse Bride parenthetical with undertones of necrophilia or something like that. Just the last verse, just the last line.
That line though cracks me up. Like she said, it looked like shit. And it looks like polished shit. Like,
well, we've all heard the phrase "it's a polished turd," you
right,
know.
Yeah. Sure.
So it's a little play on that.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Another classic for sure from Zach Squatch.
Hey, yeah. I try my best. I try my best. Yeah. I would call it my best.
Yeah.
Maybe not what other people would consider the best. I got to sleep 12 hours a day in order to try my best for 3 or 4 hours and then go back to bed. So.
You don't have any current appearances right now, but like I said, we do have Monday nights here at Venice.
Yep.
And people can follow along with you on,
Twitter at Mr. Hans Horses. Not a lot of music goes up there. Mostly just my terrible, terrible thoughts.
And memes.
I like making memes. I also, I'm on Facebook. You can friend me on Facebook. What's my name on there? Yeah, Zachary Matthew Sloan. That's my full legal name. Facebook actually blocked me because I was using Sloan, like the Irish form of Sloan, like where Sloan comes from. Like, oh, Schlotten Hedkin or something. I don't know. Big, long word. And Facebook was like, no, you got to use your real name. So they made me, like, fucking photocopy my ID and send them a picture of my ID so that I could log back into Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah. Facebook's a bit of big brothery.
All right.
Yeah, they don't let you get away with stuff. I like Twitter more, for sure.
They banned me for a few times for tagging too many bands and stuff. Like, whenever I do those lists and things of shows in town and stuff, like...
How do you get banned for tagging?
Yeah, well, it says I'm a... It's abusive. It's abusing the policy and stuff. And so they...
What a fucking joke.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah.
I hope he hears this. Oh, can we email this to Mark Zuckerberg and then just spend the last part of this podcast just fucking ripping on him?
I think so.
That fucking tool. it's I got banned because I posted a picture of me. I thought it was funny because it's not real. It was stupid. It was just, someone took a dumb picture of me looking real dumb and like inbred rednecky, and so I drew a swastika on my head in a Photoshop thing, and then I wrote like at the bottom, I was like, you want to watch me jerk it? And I posted that as like my profile picture, and people reported it. Some of my friends called me and they were like, I can't believe you would post that. I'm like, it's a joke.
Right.
You can't believe I would post that? I mean, I get it if it was like, you know, like anyone but me.
Right.
But like, come on, I do dumb. Ah, fucking van, not a motorcycle. I do dumb shit like that all the time though, and so I just assumed
sure
people would laugh with me, but instead they got mad at me.
Yeah, some people take it way too seriously on there. Like...
Some people take life too seriously.
Right.
Matter of fact, everybody does. Me too.
Yep.
We should really all just like fucking jump headfirst off of a cliff. But that's maybe too morbid. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe.
I don't know. No one should kill themselves unless they really want to.
That's the full disclaimer.
Full disclaimer. What do we do? How much time do you usually go with these guys?
I don't know. I guess that's about everything.
Yeah. I don't have a lot going on in my life. I can do one more. I want to get my political message out there.
Yeah. keep an eye out for Zach coming to a dive bar or
oh wait, I do have a show.
You do?
Yeah, at Livery's, what is it? They're fucking Are they up to 3 years now? It's their third birthday,
yeah.
I think. July, the first Friday of July. I think it's July 6th, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that sounds right.
There's a whole shit, July 7th. There's a whole shitload of people playing that one. I'm not even going to try to name everyone else. But yeah, definitely, that'll be like an all-day long party.
Yeah.
So, I think I play at like 6 or 6:30. I'm earlier in the day, but that's where they usually shove us singer-songwriters. They're like, hey, fucking, you started off. You just a guitar. You ain't got nothing going on. Which is accurate, so.
Right.
And I like to go first. If I go, I've been in bands. I used to be in this punk band called Dad Junior. I call it a punk band. I don't know. We would not necessarily go last or anything like that, but it was always later, and I would be so drunk. I'd be just too fucked up to really play, probably. Luckily, everyone else in the band was really talented, so they could. Dracula.
He
played guitar in that band. But like they were, Adam played drums, my buddy Jason played bass. They were all good, and so they would carry it at least. While I was just drunk in the corner drinking my own piss usually. There was one time where I peed in a cup while they were all playing, just like off in the corner of the stage, and I was like, "Hey, who wants to drink my piss?" Like as a joke, and people raised their hand, and I was like, "No, I'm serious. It's piss." And then some people still kept their hands up, so I handed it to someone. I don't remember who it was, and they took a drink, and they went, "That's really your piss." And I went, "I know. I was serious. It was my piss. You just drank my urine." Good. And then I was like, and then she went to take another drink, and I was like, "Give my turn." And so then I drank it, and then we were just chugging. It was weird. It was a weird time for me to be alive. I was only in that band for like a year, and then I feel like it's definitely. It was a mutual thing. They didn't kick me out. I didn't quit because I hated them. It was like a, guys, if I keep doing this, I'm probably gonna die.
Right.
So, me and the bass player split. And
I don't know how long I can keep this piss drinking bit up.
Yeah. Right. It's, not very long. It gets very toxic after the first few goes. So you got to make sure you're hydrated.
Yeah.
You got to drink water in between piss. It's kind of like drinking booze. Only it doesn't get you drunk, it just makes you sick. I'm not gonna tell that story, but but yeah, it's you know, catharsis. Ching, word of the day.
Yeah.
And that's what I needed for that period of my time, I guess, was to drink urine and act ridiculous, and that was fun.
Yeah. What happened with Whiskey War Mountain, everybody?
The Manus Brothers are doing the Manus Brothers, obviously,
right.
And that started, the ball was really rolling with that, still is, for them, and so I feel like it was just kind of, and then we were like transitioning drummers to, like, Jake was playing washboard, and then he became the drums, and, the wheels just kind of came off.
Yeah.
No one, you know, we're all still friends and stuff, but.
Do you guys ever do a reunion show or something? Or
maybe some. We used to do. It used to be at the Whiskey War Fest. Also, yeah. Google that. Look, everyone should go to those. Yeah. That's always really fun.
Now
it's in the city. Yeah, it's in September.
Yeah.
Down at
South Broadway. Broadway
Athletic Club.
Yeah,
jinx.
Yeah. Drink a piss.
Yeah. No. Oh. They were not okay with me doing it. They did not want me doing that stuff. I was in both those bands like the same. And I was also in a band called Carriage House with Adam Donald. So like, I was in like. And then doing solo stuff. It was like a lot of. All within a year, I was just playing like fucking five shows a night, different bands and stuff. Or five shows a week, five nights a week. And it got really exhausting. And so now it's just me all by my lonesome.
Yeah.
That's what I like to do anyway. So someday I'll be in a band again. Someday.
Yeah.
I'd like to. Just to get it out there. But
sure, man.
But as of now, this is perfect for my schedule.
Yeah.
I just wake up and write a song and go back to bed. So.
How many songs do you think you've written?
It comes and goes, but I usually end up, I'd say on average, I've probably written 40 songs that I know, that I can remember for the most part. And, I might have to look at some of the lyrics on some of them, but, but like 40 that I think are good enough, or that I would be comfortable with like recording and putting out there and letting people hear. But like, you know, hundreds of like half songs are written and floating around in my brain, or I've got a bunch of recordings in my phone that are just like little snippets of songs. I'm like, this would be good. This is cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just kind of depends. When I'm more manic-y, I write a lot. Whether or not they're good is kind of, I wait till I'm depressed to decide whether or not everything I wrote while I was manic is any good. And whatever sticks with me through the depression side of this bipolar bullshit is the songs I keep. So
yeah.
I've written lots of songs. Most of them get thrown in the trash. And then just like through course of time, you get sick of, I don't know, some people will tell you, I never get sick of my songs. I love them to the day I die. I love this song. And maybe I've written songs like that. I haven't died yet, so I don't know. But for the most part, I get bored with a song and I just kind of let it fade away out of my mind. It's not like I have to keep it for anyone. I only do it for me. It's not like I'm not doing this for you. This isn't for you, Shane.
Right.
I don't write these songs for you.
Yeah.
I write them for me.
I do think that's like the craziest thing. I mean, people look up, you know, like you said, you know, you look at like a Rolling Stones or something that's been doing this for 50 years or whatever, and like people are like, oh man, must be the best life, you know, being a rock star and all this. And then like, but like if I was Mick Jagger and I had to wake up and sing "Start Me Up" every day, I'm like, I would just like,
you're bored with it.
Yeah, right.
At least like. Yeah. Well, I think the problem is, like, when you write a song, you're writing a song about that portion of your life, or at least that part of your brain, and how it's working in that time frame of your life, and then you get older, and you grow up, and you leave that sentiment behind. It's nice to revisit every once in a while. It's like looking through a yearbook, but I don't look at my old high school crush in the yearbook. Like I don't jerk off to my high school crush in the yearbook anymore. Is what I'm saying.
Anymore.
I used to in high school. I was like, oh man, oh, it's such a crush on you. And then now it's, you know, 10 years have passed, and I'm like, oh yeah, you were cute. But now it'd be weird because I'd just be jerking off to like a 17-year-old. That's inappropriate, right? That's not okay. So I don't do that. Just to clarify.
Right.
But you move on. You grow up. Life keeps moving. And if you don't want to get left behind, then sometimes you got to leave some of your shit behind. You got to leave a song behind. You got to leave a lover behind. You got to leave a kid behind. I have several illegitimate children that I don't even try to connect with or speak to.
That's a good metaphor for life right there, man.
Yeah, don't talk to your kids if you have them.
And don't jerk off to the yearbook.
And don't jerk off to your yearbook crushes, your high school crushes, anymore. It's inappropriate.
Yeah.
But yeah, man. Well, can I play us out with one more?
Let's close this thing out with your political song.
One of them.
Yeah. And again, come on out Mondays at Venice. Thank you, Venice, for having us out today and letting us hang out here.
You're welcome. Oh, that was like the guy. Who was that? Might he sound like the guy who introduces SNL?
Yeah, it sounded like Don Pardo.
Yeah, Don Pardo. Thank you for coming to Venice Cafe. I don't know what that was. That was a weird specter. All right, here you go. This is, what is this one called? It's called, Death to the American Dream, I think. Death to the American Dream. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. You mind if I... This is Drew Schaefer's fault.
Tune up.
I gotta tune it back up. This is, Drew Schaefer made me change the strings because I listened to him and he said that he changed his strings. I would also like to plug Drew Schaefer as just a good dude in general. I played a show at the Duck Room a little over a week ago. I was opening for this band called Spiral Stairs with one of the guys from Pavement. If you heard the band Pavement from the 90s, Drew let me borrow his fucking Gibson Hummingbird, which is insane. That's like a really nice expensive guitar to just give some drunken asshole to play a show. So thanks, Drew, if you're listening. And when I went and picked it up from his house, this is funny, he had it like sitting down by the front door with a, because he had to take a nap, so he just like set it, ledged it like just inside his front door so I could grab it and shut the door. And he had a little note wedged in there that said, like, you know, good luck, I love you, you're gonna kill it tonight. Like, it's like very like a mom would note would put, like, all she'd right. put in like your lunch at school, which I thought was beautiful. So Drew Schaefer is a beautiful soul, and
yeah, man,
if you get a chance, you should jerk him off. Death to the American Dream.
Well, if I were the governor of this Missouri state, well, I'd put into law that all must integrate, because white flight inherently breeds systemic racism. And I know that there'd be those who opposed, and they'd give me the finger, and I'd show them the hose, and I'd say something along the lines of, you'd never been oppressed, so maybe it's high tide you tried it. Cause the American dream is dying when everybody wants the biggest gun. Yeah, the American dream is dying, and maybe it's a killing. Now, if I were the president of this United States, well, I'd turn every prison into a mental facility, because the compulsion to commit a crime is insanity, and the necessity to do so is hardly a punishable offense. And I'd invite the world's leaders to my big old White House, and we'd all have a dinner where the poor were allowed to sit next to and rub shoulders with us elite types, and maybe a mind or two would be changed that day. But probably not. Cause the American dream is dying when everybody wants the biggest truck nuts. Yeah, the American dream is dying, and maybe it's a killing everyone. Third verse, it gets worse. Now, if I were the ruler of this whole goddamn world, well, I'd take whatever I wanted, and I'd fuck any girl, because absolute power corrupts absolutely, and even I am not exempt from this human flaw. But I'd piss off too many, and a resistance would be formed, and they'd rise up against me, an army of the poor, and a coalition of martyrs will always win, because they got the most worth fighting for. Yeah, the American dream is dying when everybody wants to vote for Trump. Seriously, what the fuck? Yeah, the American dream is dying, and maybe it's a killing everyone. Hot dog bun, my sister's a nun, the song is done.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, that's it. That's all I want the world to know.
Beautiful, man. All right, we're out of here.
Thanks, man.
Thank you, Zach. See you, buddy.
See ya.
Rock, paper, podcast.
Rock, paper, podcast.
Rock, paper, podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.